Rebuilding South Africa's moribund economy.
The first thing is to convince international investors that South Africa's still something to play for.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Rob Young. Good morning. In the coming hours, Cyril Ramaphosa is expected to be sworn in as South Africa's new president. Jacob Zuma quit on Wednesday night after months of pressure from his party, the African National Congress. The BBC's Lerato Mbele in Johannesburg outlines the economic challenges the new president faces.
Cyril Ramaphosa is expected to be sworn in as South Africa's new president later on today, and the first port of call for him will be really dealing with the quagmire that is the South African economy. The first thing is to convince international investors that South Africa is still something to play for. Investors are really quite jittery at the moment because the country has received two sovereign credit ratings downgrades to junk status, and many investors in bonds are really worried that they're going to lose money instead of making money from this emerging market. So confidence building will be the first issue. Yesterday, South Africa received the latest update on the unemployment figures, and they're still coming in at 26%. That's a quarter of the population are people who simply cannot find jobs. That's a real social problem. And it's something that the new administration will have to tackle with vigor. I think the other issue is tackling inequality. South Africa is regarded as one of the most unequal societies in the world. And that in itself is a grave cause of social discontent.
Why will Cyril Ramaphosa be any different to Jacob Zuma? Because he was his deputy for a number of years.
His career began in politics, business, the trade unions, and then back in business at the highest level. So he has been able to cut a lot of deals across sectors, mining, media, and also in the food business. And at the same time, has his seat at the table of policymakers.
Lerato Mbele, thank you.
Thank you, Rob.
Let's do the numbers. Zuma's resignation sent the South African rand up to its highest level against the dollar since 2015. Meanwhile, global stock markets are broadly higher. France's CAC 40 is leading the way in Europe, up 85 points or 1.66%. In Iran, the authorities have arrested almost 100 currency traders and shut Foreign Exchange Bureau. The government's trying to stop the rial falling in value amid concerns the nuclear deal with the US and others could collapse. The BBC Persian business correspondent is Amir Paivar.
The response has been very heavy-handed. They said this is because these are speculators who have been fueling the fall of the Iranian currency. Iran is now planning to issue bonds in foreign currencies in order to give incentives to those who want to invest in the US dollar or euros to go to Iranian banks rather than the free market. I'm not sure this will work when the people think that the country cannot control the market or does not have the reserves in Iran, then they lose their trust in the banking system. So if they do even go and get these bonds, what they're not sure about is the day when they want to cash the bonds, whether the banks will still have US dollars or euros to give them. Then also the interest rate on these bonds are set around 4 and 4.5%, which is very different from what you can get in an Iranian market in rials or in other markets inside Iran.
Amir Paivar. Now, a monogrammed shirt, a fitted suit, a dress made to your exact specifications. Sounds good, but expensive. Well, some companies are now offering cheaper prices thanks to digital technology. The BBC's Elizabeth Hodson reports. Follower of
fashion. According to market research company Kantar Worldpanel, the average price paid in the UK for an off-the-peg men's suit is around $150. But if you're willing to spend around $400, you can go online and have one custom made. Companies are springing up across the internet to satisfy that demand, which is often driven by men in their 20s and 30s. That's according to Simon Crompton, founder of PermanentStyle.com, a menswear blog.
The vast majority of the benefit is going to be in style and getting something that's unique to you. I think customisation is absolutely crucial when they're looking particularly in the mid-market.
And that's the target market for Jonathan Kruger, CEO of online tailor The Drop. It charges around $400 for a two-piece suit, which is made in China.
They come onto the website, people send us a picture, we then can usually tell them straight away if we can make it. So that's one type of customer. The other one knows what they like, but haven't necessarily come to us with a specific look in mind. And then our task is to try and show them the right sort of outfit straight away.
Customers send in the measurements and two photos and then wait for their order to come. One of the drop's recent customers is Ujjal Jutti.
I decided to order a tailored jacket for a cousin's wedding I have coming up. So I went with a navy blazer with super wide lapels.
Ujjal's suit's arrived and he's come back to the studio to show it off. So what do you think?
I think it's great. I mean, it's a wonderful fit. I'm really happy with it.
But the customisation revolution isn't restricted to men's outfits. Dig for Victory in Brighton on the south coast of England is a purveyor of vintage fashion for women.
My name's Eleanor Callahan and we're currently in our studio room, which is where we make all the custom patterns. We've got rails of dresses which can be bought off the peg, but they can also choose to have something made to measure. We've got a range of different necklines, different styles of skirt and different styles of sleeve. Not everyone is going to fit the high street sizes and the particular shape that the high street caters for.
Eleanor Callahan speaking to Elizabeth Hodson. And finally, scientists looking for aliens are the latest to complain about cryptocurrencies. They're struggling to get the computer processing units they need because of the craze for mining digital money. In London, I'm Rob Young with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.